You find yourself out walking in the rain. The wind is howling like a runaway train. A voice calls out, a raspy refrain. Answer my riddles or ye will go insane. Ahead on the path is a dark domain. A man stands in front dressed in rags and chains. He says, come inside and I'll ruin your brain. Welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
See, that's are you saying hello to? Are you saying hello to us, Henry, or to the patrons?
I don't know.
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
I was keeping my counsel.
Yeah.
Because you two are at the front door of Bonjo's House of Pain going, hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Can we be let in or out? Or have we been here our whole lives? What's that? Who are we? Because it's got one of those little porch things, hasn't it, with a little glass door.
It's got a little porch. Yeah.
But inside
with a boot
the porch,
scraper.
It's got a boot scraper.
Except it's a face scraper,
and it's made of an axe.
It's covered in human hair.
It's covered in human hair. Hang on, it's covered in my old human hair. Oh, no. Oh, we're not even in the main front door, and Bonjo's House of Pain is messing with us big time. And there's a hall of mirrors in which I can see all the reflections of the me I could have been. No! I could have been the mayor of Ipswich.
Just as your mother dreamed.
Just as my mother dreamed. Oh, no. And her mother before her.
Serious question. If you, at the age of, say, 6 or 7, decided it was your life's goal to become mayor of Ipswich, do you think you could have done it?
Yes. I think definitely. I think anyone can be a mayor of Ipswich. They say anyone can be the president of the United States of America, and that's not true, but anyone can be the mayor of Ipswich, I think.
It's the Ipswich dream, isn't it?
It's the Ipswich dream. But I think if you aim at president of America really hard and you fall short, you might land.
What kind of mayor are you hoping to be, though? That's the kind of thing. Is Ipswich are you for a kind of sort of shit kicking like city mayor LA style? You know, causing a stink with the DA and the LAPD. Are you that kind of mayor, or are you the Lord Mayor?
Well,
with all the accoutrements, the tricorn hat.
Well, I would have a sort of my own version of mayor.
Okay.
I think I do. It would be, there'd be an element of tricorn hat.
Yeah.
But there'd be a ceremonial, I would have a huge chain.
Yeah.
With a ve- but on the end of it, a gold ball covered in solid platinum spikes. I'd spin it around my head and I'd be mayor of Ipswich, Henry Packer, judge, jury and executioner. And I enforce the law directly with my swingy golden ball.
Directly and arbitrarily.
I completely arbitrarily can't control the golden ball. It's totally arbitrary. But actually, the mental health has gone up really well. People are really enjoying living there. Weirdly, that sense that you might be randomly coshed to death at any point has given the people of Ipswich a real lust for life.
For a crime that hasn't, never mind you didn't commit, hasn't been committed.
Hasn't been committed.
I'm just looking at the current mayor of Ipswich.
Yeah.
Sitting on their website is Ipswich Borough Council.
Yeah.
And there's a page about the mayor, and the title of the page is literally the words, the current mayor of Ipswich.
Yeah.
Just to remind him.
Yeah.
That it's not a, you know, he's only a mayor for a short time.
Yeah. Well, until he's beaten in hand-to-hand combat.
Yes.
By a young pretender, right? Is that how it works?
Well, Henry, I'm on that word, young pretender.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid to give you the news that you may have missed the boat when it comes to becoming mayor of Ipswich.
You know, it's that thing, isn't it? Every year the mayor of Ipswich looks younger.
They look younger and younger.
They look younger and younger, those Ipswich mayors.
So the current mayor of Ipswich is only 36 years old.
He's barely out of some length of trouser that's relevant that people talk about. Is he barely into long trousers or out of long trousers?
He's
or
barely out of a short, rough and gold chain combo.
Gold chain. Extraordinary go-getter.
He's one of the youngest mayors in Ipswich history since the role was created in 1836.
There we go. Blimey.
Do you want me to read you his reflection on Ipswich?
Yeah. Has he only got one?
He's given a reflection.
He's given one reflection. It's his full-time
fair.
Job as mayor of Ipswich.
He's
only just one
fair.
Thing. all right, go on then. What's he?
I believe history forms our future, and we should all be proud of our roots. Not sure where this is
okay,
going.
Can I say, I recently sold a shirt on eBay.
Yeah.
Did he?
And, and it gave me the option of using AI to write the description.
Right.
Of the option. So I put in all my little details.
Yeah.
Length of shirt. Length of shirt.
Number of stains.
No. Mileage.
Mileage. Number of cuffs. Stain configuration. Confirming that it's not a shirt of Turin. So obviously that whops up the value massively. If it's one of the extant shirts of Turin. So you fill in the basic details, colour, size, etc. And then it gives you an option. It says, for your little description paragraph, AI can write this for you.
Yeah.
If you want, if you press the button, or you can write it yourself. So I thought to myself, so, you know, I'm heavily AI skeptic,
yeah,
which is the position of our podcast, isn't it? Is it?
Well, we haven't talked about it really.
We haven't talked about it. No. But I thought... I am. Yeah. But, I think my position is, as long as they don't fucking touch the illustration works, you fucking fuckers.
But that's almost the first thing that's coming for
me. I know, it's so first of the gang. We're the absolute prawn.
You're the prawn in the coal mine, aren't you? Yeah.
The prawn in the coal mine.
Just instantly die.
It's a prawn with a little...
Doesn't stand a chance.
And it's a prawn with a little top hat that's on a rakish angle and a little twiddly moustache because it's an illustrated prawn. It's a lovely little anthropomorphised prawn.
So it owns the mine.
It used to own the mine, yeah.
And the tables have really turned on that prawn, haven't they?
The tables are hugely turned. Anyway, so you can fill in the different details. Yeah. And so my policy on AI currently, which may change, is I think I don't mind AI if it's doing something which isn't taking work away from a human.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there may be other places where it's okay. But for me at the moment, I feel quite comfortable with AI. So I think it's taking away work from me, which is writing this description. I wasn't going to get paid for that. It wasn't a job I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, fine, press the button. And it extrapolated from the data I'd put in this incredibly bland, cliched paragraph about my shirt.
Yeah.
Which had all this stuff I hadn't even written down in
the box. I didn't
even
know there were shirt cliches, but I guess
wait for this. You're here. Yeah. So it said things like, this blue shirt is a smart casual piece, which I hadn't said. I hadn't said anything about being smart casual, yeah, but it just went for it. And I said, and it also said, which can be dressed up or down, which is not something I'd said. So it's just completely generic sort of.
But it can see the photograph. Is it able to look at it?
No, unless it had seen the photograph. But isn't that something you'd say about any shirt?
Yeah, it's
you
kind
can
of
dress
true.
It up or down. There are so few shirts that you can't dress down. And like the shirt that the Habsburg Emperor is crowned in, which is made entirely out of pearls.
Yes, pearls produced by the carcasses of his ancestors as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so
those
hard
pearls.
To... Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, but the reason that came back to me was the blandness of that AI copy didn't light a bloody candle to shine on the blandness of the words of the apparently human Mayor of Ipswich talking about his own city. I've made my play for Mayor of Ipswich. I've gone in really hard. I've made my play. But do you know what I'm saying? It's got a slightly AI ring of just like pure cliched nonsense. I think history leads to the future.
It's boilerplate mayor stuff, isn't it?
It's boilerplate mayor stuff. It's AI mayor stuff. Anyway,
okay.
Go on.
Next bit. As for kindness and compassion, I see examples of this every day in our town in some way, shape or form, and I know I will see much more of it in this coming year.
Absolute bollocks.
It's also meaningless, isn't it?
That's so meaningless.
You just sort of splaff some cliches together.
It's the you can dress it up or down of mayoral reflections.
It means even less than that, because at least like that is true and a fact.
And also you could dress that shirt up or down.
Yeah.
It might still be on eBay, by the way. It's currently on for about £45.
Oh, what? For a second-hand shirt?
Yeah.
You're not getting 45 quid.
Come off it. Wind your neck in, mate.
It's only twice what I paid for it. Obviously, shirts accrue value, don't they?
Was it woven by John Paul II?
It was the last shirt he wove.
You've always saved money just buying the front of a shirt anyway. So
true.
Have you made that clear on the eBay?
I wear the front of the shirt and just do my back in a highlighter pen that highlights the colour that most closely matches the colour of the shirt.
Okay, second paragraph.
Yeah.
I am truly grateful to have this opportunity to serve my hometown as its mayor. And through the year, I hope to meet many of the amazing people who do so much for Ipswich and its vibrant communities.
Okay, I'm going to put in a little suggestion here, which is, you know that thing which you do, which we've talked about before in the podcast, which is if you get given a present or something that you don't like, when you're not quite being truthful about something, the easiest thing to do is to lean into just go hard lie.
Right.
So I would suggest that everything in that sentence you've written, he said, is a hard lie. So the first one was, I've been, was it?
I'm truly grateful to have this opportunity to serve my hometown.
Okay, I'm going to make a punt. I think that's a hard lie. I think he's really fucked up. I think he doesn't like the job.
You think it's a bet that's gone out of hand?
I think it's a bet that's gone out of hand. I don't know what it is, or it's an admin error, or maybe he got Ipswich, the mayor of Ipswich, confused with President of the United States. I don't know. But I think he hates the job. That's why he said that. I think he hates the job. He complains about it a lot.
He should have the energy to come up with a much better bit of blurb than that. Or at least he knows someone who can. Do you know what I mean? There's someone in his circle who's...
It's very disappointing.
Because that also could be said about anywhere, right? I mean, if you change the word Ipswich, it's not...
Exactly.
There's nothing specific.
Yeah, why doesn't he refer to all those things that we know about Ipswich? You know, the tower...
Yeah. Well, the famous
ditch of Ipswich.
The dancing horses.
And the famously it's got the pavements are almost completely flush with the roads, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah? And it's got regularly
and the perpendicular bollards.
The perpendicular bollards.
The famously perpendicular bollards.
The regularly placed street bins. Oh. So I guess what's the next thing you said, Ben, in that sentence?
He said, and through this year, I hope to meet many of the amazing people who do so much for Ipswich.
So I think he fucking hates people who live in Ipswich. Henry, I think that's what he's saying.
Henry, okay, I know you want to be mayor of Ipswich, but this level of kind of attack ad is going to turn people off. You need a bit of graciousness, right?
Yeah, that's very much in the zeitgeist at the moment, but I think Ben's right. I think you've got to change if people are ready for more positive. What are your actual ideas for Ipswich?
Okay. Here's an idea. I think we flip it. We flip the switch on Ipswich. We flip it.
Are you switching it off? Because it is on at the moment.
I think we switch it around.
Okay.
I think everything moves 45 degrees. We try an initial 45 degree switch. It'll be incredibly expensive, but that will enhance growth.
Think of the number of jobs it would need to actually just to rotate Ipswich by 45 degrees.
Creates so many jobs.
Such a job creator.
And think about all the OS maps that have to be reprinted and changed. That's work.
Creating jobs. Yeah. Also, all the A roads and all the motorways will have to, it'll create a slight sort of spiraling of the road network, won't it? Ipswich, of course, is the geometric and polar centre of the United Kingdom, isn't it? So that'll actually create a slight swivelling of all the roads in Britain. It's creating jobs, isn't it? We're hitting the flip switch. Vote Henry Packer for mayor of Ipswich.
And would you like to say anything about the county in which it's located, Henry?
I mean,
which presumably is also very special to your heart, off the top of the head.
We'll take either the administrative county or the historic county.
Well, sure as Norwich is the capital of Norfolk, Ipswich, ergo, is thus the capital of Ipsfolk. Isn't it?
You actually might have had a stab at working it out with that starting point. That's the saddest thing.
Did I draw the wrong conclusions, but from the right... starting points, yeah. My premise. Yeah.
Anyway,
East Anglia. Come on, move on. Is it?
Well, it's not wrong.
No. It's not wrong, but it's.
Yeah. It's one of the Umberlands. Oh, shit. All right.
Anyway, I lead you both through. I open the creaking door of the front of the Bondo's House of Pain. I lead you through to the front room.
Okay.
And who's that tied up and hogtied and tied up from the ceiling? It's the mayor of Ipswich, Stefan Long.
Yes. Oh, it's a Faustian pact you're offering me, isn't it?
It is. Win this pub quiz.
And you will feast upon the current mayor of Ipswich. Yes. And thus become the new mayor of Ipswich.
Okay. The stakes couldn't be higher. Okay.
If Mike wins the pub quiz, Nothing happens.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
But we will probably still have to kill the mayor of Ipswich because...
Yeah, because he will talk.
He'll talk about this, yeah.
Can't let him talk about it. He's seen our faces.
Either way.
I like them odds.
Okay.
Well, I do see that the big necklace, the big chunky necklace that I'll get to wear if I'm the mayor of Ipswich, it's currently being dangled into a sort of fiery furnace by what looks to be Thor. Is that right?
That's right. That's Thor. Okay. And actually, that's a clue to who's going to be playing in the pub quiz tonight. We're not going to the pub. We're staying in my front room. And we'll welcome in a number of Norse gods will be playing against you. So here's Thor. Here's Freya.
Odin.
Here's a guy with plaited pubes.
I reckon that's going to be Tyr, god of war.
That'll be Tyr. He can get away. He gets away with it, doesn't he?
He does. Of course he does.
Yeah.
When I was in Denmark recently...
To get your pubes plaited.
Re-plaited.
There's no point in trying to get it done in Cardiff, is there?
No, they always make an absolute hash of it.
And you tried to get it done cheaply in Turkey last year, didn't you? They plaited your entire lower body. Didn't they? Oh, dear.
A woman told me why the Vikings were so brutal.
Oh, yeah, go on.
This is maybe not that interesting. But it's entirely down to famine. They lived in a constant state of famine. And basically, the home could only support a small number of people. So if you had some kids, you'd be like, oh, God, we've got more. So as soon as they were old enough, they had to leave on a boat and fuck off and go and find somewhere else to live because there literally wasn't enough food. And so similarly, they had that thing of like, if you got old and you were ill, you were just a burden on the famine-ridden family.
Oh, wow.
And so you'd walk off into the hills and never come back.
Try suggesting that idea to boomers today, eh? Because really, they should all get malleted, shouldn't they?
I did mention malleting.
So this is your second policy idea for Mayor of Ipswich, is that you're going to mallet the boomers. It would release a huge amount of cash into
of
the
equity,
economy.
Wouldn't it? Exactly.
Yeah, and property. Yeah. Deal with your housing situation in a single stroke. Well, depending on the size of the mallet, but it's going to be...
Well, it has to be a very, very precise mallet. One mallet's going to take out all the boomers in Ipswich.
Yeah.
I think thousands of tiny mallets is what I'm going to go for. Okay.
Well, you need to get them all in one place. So I'm thinking maybe put on a kind of Stevie Nicks tribute band.
Oh.
Get all the boomers to go to that and then just
market it in such a way as it suggests it might actually be Stevie herself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. And maybe she's being introduced to the stage by Monty Don.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
That's nice.
The perfect storm. Yeah.
Maybe... There's a Q&A with the one of the grandchildren of a Labrador that fought in World War II.
Alan Titchmarsh.
Alan Titchmarsh. I'll do the job.
Is that pre or post Stevie Nicks' performance?
I think that's in the interval.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Gen Z are into Stevie Nicks, actually, so I think the mallet might catch some stragglers. But
oh, yeah.
But maybe the Gen Zers would leave during the World War II dogs bit.
Yes, I think that'll clean them out.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
No, because Gen Zers, they like dogs, a lot of them.
But we'll say there's a free Labrador-flavoured vape stall outside in the interval. Would that get them out?
they're going to know something's up at that point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to smell a rat.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, we'll work on it.
Tricky. Yeah, it's all stuff to work.
It's time.
Yeah.
Okay, time for the quiz. So,
very good.
Yeah. As with last time we did this, these are all questions sent in by listeners.
Oh, brilliant.
Thank you.
I would say that in general, the vibe, I thought last time was quite fun. The vibe on this one is a little bit more like kind of pedantic dad pub questions where you're like, yeah, okay, that's true, but...
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Bit annoying. Right.
I've
got a lot of time for that.
Sort of annoying annoying facts.
Yeah.
I think I won't find them annoying if I get any of them right.
Well, exactly.
That's what I'm hoping.
But I thought we might start.
Did you know that actually something isn't this and not what you thought the other thing?
It isn't a vegetable. Yes.
Yeah, it isn't a vegetable. It's actually a type of Saab. it's actually not button down, it's baton down the hatches. It's actually a maritime phrase. That sort of thing.
Yeah, that was saying right, it's actually a maritime phrase. We'll put you in good stead to win this quiz, I'd say.
It's actually a maritime phrase.
If you just pause there for just a moment.
It's actually a maritime phrase.
Hang about.
What's he doing?
Oh, Sorry, I just thought it might be worth, just in case we're allowed any aides, bringing my book of maritime phrases.
So that is, it's called Not Enough Room to Swing a Cat, yes. Naval Slang.
Oh, yeah. For fuck's
sake. By who is it, Mike?
It's by Martin Robson, of course.
Ben, I think play the jingle. Play the bloody jingle. Jesus Christ.
I can't believe, Henry, that you think you're going to become mayor of Ipswich when we've got Mike here, who's got Martin Robson on the payroll. He's got his book of naval slang.
He's just quietly coming up behind me, isn't he, as the absolute dream candidate.
Yeah. Give us one, Mike. Give us a phrase we didn't realise was naval in.
A slush fund.
It's actually a maritime term.
It's actually a maritime term.
Things that would happen on one of the decks.
A square meal is actually,
it's actually a maritime term.
Yeah. Cut and run.
It's actually a maritime term with something to do with ropes.
And of course, the phrase, on your beam ends.
Which is actually a maritime term, something to do with bits of wood.
What does that mean, though, outside of maritime?
It doesn't mean
it's only got a maritime meaning.
I've got no idea. Robson claims the most widespread definition is to be in a singularly difficult or tricky situation with perhaps more than a hint of danger.
Bloody hell, made him up my beam ends here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch is actually a maritime. isn't it?
Yeah, great stuff. And of course, suck the monkey. Let's move on, though.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Bloody hell.
The first one's from Anna.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
So she writes, my friend Tom recently made a pub quiz to run at my birthday party and had a round entitled Finnish Folk Music.
Ooh.
So basically, I think this is a bit of a thing. Apparently, you play Finnish folk music versions of pop songs and you have to identify them.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, I've made it a bit harder. I'm just going to play the first 15 seconds.
Yep.
Okay.
I've got three of them. Don't shout out, as we've said, as with last time, just write your answer down and we'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
You might both get some of these right.
Okay.
So listen out to this. This is the first 15 seconds of a Finnish folk band playing a pop tune. Here we go.
Naama kurttuinen, alla peru.
Oh my god, that was good.
Would you like to hear it again?
Yes, please.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, here goes.
Naama kurttuinen, alla peruukin kirppuisen sen harmaat haapset.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, Henry's not. I'll do all three and then we'll do the answers at the end.
I'm feeling good about
that. Okay, this is number two.
Tuoksu on paha ja vellu.
What is that all we're getting? Come on, Bonjo. I know this game is branded as Bonjo's House of Pain and you're branded as some sort of hellish demon and stuff in it.
Yeah.
But even with that in mind, that was cruel. Is that all we're getting?
Yeah, but what I will say is that the song in question has quite an iconic opening, which sounds
okay,
like that.
Okay, so, okay, cool.
Right.
Can we have it again then?
Yep.
Thanks.
Here goes.
How are you feeling about that one, Mike?
Well, I've written something down.
Okay,
I'm going to move on to the third one. Here goes, number three.
Okay.
I'll play it again.
I know it's the song that goes like that.
Yeah, keep going in your head.
Don't help him. I've got it.
You might have it wrong, mate.
Fuck, I know that song, but what is it? I do know it.
You get no points for knowing it, but not knowing it. Okay, I'm going to give you the answers.
Hang on. Whoa. Steady on, oops. Mr. Cheesecakes. Yeah? I've used my Mr. Cheesecakes. I've played my Mr. Cheesecakes. Yeah?
Okay.
That means I get Mike's points. Move on. And Mike doesn't have a Mr. Cheesecakes. Because I've used my Mike doesn't have a Mr. Cheesecakes. Before he does. I did a Mr. Cheesecakes. Yeah?
Okay. Question one.
I know that fucking song. Damn everyone.
Okay. Question one.
I've got my guess.
What have you got? So, Henry, what's your guess?
Well, what's Mike's guess?
What's your guess? I want to hear your guess first.
I think, have it written down.
Yeah, we've both. Yeah. You've both written it down, yeah.
My guess is Like a Virgin by Madonna.
And Mike?
I have simply written a question mark because I had no idea.
It was indeed Like a Virgin by Madonna.
Well done.
Playing it again.
So you can hear it. So you should. I made it through the wilderness.
There's why have you not something. Why have you overlaid Like a Virgin?
That's the bit that the last bar of that. That's the bit.
Shiny
that was...
and you. Like a Virgin was the first CD that I bought.
The single or Immaculate Collection? What we're talking all the original album?
Not Immaculate Collection. That was
best of.
Yeah. But I remember I got it from R Price with my dad. I think, was there an album called Like a Virgin?
Maybe, I don't know.
Or was it a CD single? It was one or the other.
The only one we had was the...
But I remember buying it with my dad and just being incredibly... I think it was maybe a present for a friend's birthday party who'd asked for it, for a friend's birthday. But I remember just being very, very awkward about that word virgin and what it meant. You know, because I was only about...
Here we go. You know,
I was only about...
Here we go.
It's an open goal.
Okay. Everybody get ready. maybe get one of your favourite biscuits ready.
Gather the family round. Wireless.
I was only about 5 years old. And little did I know that... I'd be finding out what that meant, in a way, when I stopped being one. Only 43 years later.
Lovely stuff.
is that what we wanted?
Yeah.
You took a long route to get there, but you got there. Yeah.
I didn't know. I wasn't sure what we wanted in the end. That's why everyone lined up with their favourite biscuits. And my mind's eye, it created quite a lot of pressure. What, Jamie Dodger's in there? Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, well, question two was...
Okay, can I say I'm doing something radical?
Yeah.
I'm bowing out of listening to you for a bit because I know I haven't got a guess for question two. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I'm going to spend the time you spend discussing question two with Mike thinking about question three and trying to get an answer.
No, stop helping him with question three. I've got question three. I've definitely got question three.
Okay, Mike, what's your answer?
I'm bowing out of the game for a bit while you do that.
For which one?
Give me a signal when you want me back.
For number two?
Mike, what's your answer for number two? Henry's actually taking his headphones off.
I think Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, but... I'm not confident.
You said Enter the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle. It's not that, I'm afraid.
No.
And Henry doesn't have a guess. He shows no interest in knowing what the answer is.
What happened with Mike there?
He got it wrong.
Good.
But at least he guessed.
Do I have to get an extra point for at least not, you know, letting an untruth into the room?
No.
At least I was honest with myself about what I know and don't know. Are we not encouraging honesty?
Okay, question two. The answer was, these boots are made for walking.
Okay.
Do you hear it now?
I do. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
What was it?
These boots are made for walking.
By Nancy Sinatra?
Yeah.
Can you play the real one?
No.
What kind of a fucking quiz show is this? You can't say no to a contestant.
One is nervous about copyright infringement.
Who's most likely to sue us for copyright infringement? An unknown Finnish folk band? Or Nancy Sinatra, if she's alive.
You've sorely underestimated Ulf Pigsen and how litigious he is. Is that okay?
No.
Okay, question three. Henry, what's your answer?
I may have got the wrong one. I know it's ABBA. I'm guessing Waterloo, is it?
Idiot. Oh, give me a man after midnight.
Ah! Damn.
Mike.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Good. But am I wrong as well?
Yep.
Well, I don't mind the fact that what Mike's wrong. I'll take to my grave.
What is it then?
Which one is it? It's an annoying one where the beginning doesn't really link to the rest of the tune.
I've never been more confident of anything in my life.
So when I...
Can we both have a second guess? Because we both...
When
extra
I listen
Battenberg,
to it.
Extra Battenberg. The four cubes, pink, yellow cubes, rearranged. We both did the same... Look, got it wrong. Do we not get
when
it?
I heard it, I also was in an ABBA frame of mind.
Yeah.
Let's play it again.
Is it not even ABBA?
No.
Okay. Oh. Is it? Okay, I've got another guess.
Yeah. Your guess, Mike?
Idea. Go on.
Get that hot stuff, baby, this evening.
Correct.
Get the hot stuff, baby, tonight.
Correct.
Enjoy the rest of the evening, you fucking dicks.
Henry's gone. Oh, no.
No, sorry, I just put the kettle on.
Don't put the kettle on. This is an audio medium.
What kind of a quiz show is this? The contestant's not even allowed to put a kettle on. This feels like the teething troubles that the BBC would have gone through in early television. We're making all the same mistakes they would have made in the 1940s.
They've booked Henry Packer.
we've booked Henry Packer. B, we've gaffer-taped the mirror of Ipswich to the ceiling. These are all easy mistakes to make first time round. C, we're letting the contestants make tea.
Okay.
But actually, it's too late now. I've made the tea.
Okay. This will be an edit point. Anything you'd like to say before the edit, Mike?
No, I just...
It's not graceful, is it?
It's not graceful. No.
Is that one where, in a way, we've potentially unearthed a little potential lawsuit there against whoever did Hot Stuff against ABBA? And I mean the other way around, or depending on which came first. Maybe a little bit of both. Haven't we? Because that is the same tune.
Yeah, which ABBA song is it, though?
I think it's Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight.
Which one did you think it was?
Can I play it on the side here?
I think when the singing begins, I think that's the...
Ben, there's a law in copyright, which is if it's parody...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So if I play ABBA and I'm doing a bad Swedish accent throughout playing it...
Does that count as parody, yeah?
Yeah.
It might also count as a hate crime.
if you change it to Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Flan After Midnight.
Oh, there
okay,
we go.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, then it's full parody, isn't it?
Okay, so the one I think it is Waterloo.
I will
it's
say
not Waterloo.
Henry.
Waterloo goes, banga, 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 banga.
I will say, Henry, I can normally keep my cool, but if Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Flan After Midnight turns you into an overnight multimillionaire, I will absolutely lose my shit.
No, fair dues.
Yeah.
Even I'll be a bit pissed off. That must be so wrong. Right, okay, here we go.
It's a great intro.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, is that what you meant with the
hello,
one?
Hello, I'm called Eric. Hello.
Stop it.
You have to stop the actual music. That's not you. It's clearly not you playing the music.
Hello. I'm Eric. I'm from Gothenburg.
What's the parody element here?
You think that's just too real?
This is like a sort of kitchen sink drama set in Gothenburg.
So, which one? Should I go through all the ABBA songs or should we just move on?
I don't think so.
It's definitely something. I think
what was your guess,
Ben? For next time we do this quiz.
I didn't guess a specific one. I just thought, oh, that's ABBA.
All right.
Anyway, do get in contact if you know which ABBA song it is. Henry's now left. He just left. Disaster.
Can we tell him that we've just completed the second round and I got 5 points?
Okay.
See how he reacts. Here he comes. Oh.
While you were just out there, we completed the second round, which Mike got 5 out of 5 on, which was...
what kind of bullshit is this? I was playing on my iPad.
He named the 16 districts of Beijing.
They're numerical, 1 to 16. Oh,
okay, so from that fun Finnish folk music round, which I thought was fun.
It was good, yeah. Good
let's
stuff.
Go into the deep, boring dad pub quiz fact bollocks.
Great. Let's do it.
Great. Which thank is, you. What was the name of the person who sent the Finnish one?
I believe it was Anna, and her friend Tom had done the round for her birthday party.
That's really good stuff.
Great stuff, Anna and Tom. Yeah. Thank you.
But also, there's more. Next time, we can do more Finn folk stuff for sure.
We know that that's a thing, even. Yeah,
it's a rich seam.
Yeah.
Okay, so now into the sort of question that makes up 80% of what we got sent.
Okay.
There are only two countries with names that start with A and don't also end with an A. What are they?
Don't start with an A and end with an A.
There are two countries that start with an A but don't end with an A.
Oh.
What are they?
I've got one of them.
You can see that Mike is in his element with this kind of question, though, isn't he? Look how relaxed he looks. His voice has developed a really nice, smooth creaminess. Yes, I think I've got one of them already, darling. Don't worry. Shouldn't be a problem. Just rattle through them quickly in the internal Rolodex in my mind that I have for boring facts like this. Okay. That's not a, just check it's not a maritime term. No, it's not a maritime term. Okay, hang on. So, and is it correct spelling we're going for?
yeah,
it's great spelling.
Okay, yeah, I got them both.
Oh, bollocks! It's amazing how many of them do have A's, though, isn't it? If this question was collect as many countries starting with A that end, do end with A as you can, I reckon I'd be winning.
Dream on.
I forgot to keep score in the last round. So, what was it?
We both got one, right?
Okay, so one all. I can't believe how many of them have got A's at the end.
Mike, what are your answers?
Hang on, whoa.
Azerbaijan, Afghanistan.
Oh, you get.
What have you
got, Henry? I've only got Azerbaijan, and not the slightly more obvious one.
Ah. Well, so that's...
Oh, although I did have Algiers.
Like, not a country. So I'll give the point to Mike. He got two there. So Mike.
Yes.
Okay. This is a bit less dad fact. Okay. And more in the world of Henry Packer world, I would say. So I've got the cost of a flat white at 4 establishments in Shepherd's Bush.
This is quite London-centric, I mean, for Mike. But anyway.
I want you to tell me the price of each one. So, how much is a flat white? They haven't given me the size of the flat white, so but let's guess it's medium.
Can I say?
Is this in decimal?
Ben, you absolute parochial turd. Flat whites are always the same size.
Is that
annoyingly
right?
Small. Well, they should be.
Okay.
They're one of those ones that in theory you can't get in a big
bucket. Flat white. Right, I see.
You can't get a big one. But also, it's not my drink, so. Interesting.
Also, we have to trust the answer giver here. And I want to reflect on last time's Bondo's House of Pain, where someone gave us a question about countries and taking the first letters and the last letters and making a different country.
Yeah.
The answer to which was Denmark versus Sweden.
To make Denwon.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I have since received probably about 25 emails from people saying, what about Andorra versus Poland?
Oh.
Is this
Okay.
Poland versus Andorra.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first three letters of each make this first word of the whole one, if they're football teams.
Yeah.
But I think they're actually wrong, because also Denmark and Sweden works the other way around. Sweemark.
Denden?
Look, at the end of Sweden is Den, right?
Sweemark, Swee. Swaken. Kendars. Snedka.
It does work.
Axemen.
If only we knew what it meant.
Nemska. Snedkai. And France do. All right. Can we get another question, please, mate?
We've got one.
So how much is a flat white in Starbucks in Shepherd's Bush?
Okay, Starbucks.
Oh. Closest gets the points.
Okay.
Okay.
Henry, what are you saying?
370.
Okay, so
I've said 350.
Okay, Mike, your provincial ignorance is showing.
Oh.
It's 425.
Goodness me.
Holy Credola. That's a lot.
Henry wins that round.
Okay. 425 for a flat white.
Okay. How much is a flat white in Costa Coffee, Shepherd's Bush?
Hmm.
So the anchoring price there is that Starbucks is £4.25.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Henry?
Well, I think Costa will try and undercut its competitor from the other side of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
With £3.95.
I've gone for a similar thing. I went for a flat four.
Okay. Henry gets the point. It's £3.90.
Oh, it would have been a hard, hard decision for them at Costa, but I think they'd have tried to get it under that four mark, even though that is a big reduction when you consider the overheads, isn't it? Move it on, mate. Keep it going.
Quick.
Okay, you've had two flat whites.
You're leaving me out to fucking dry here. Supposed to be a team.
You've had two flat whites, but you fancy another one.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're wandering along the road. What's this? A Cafe Nero.
Oh, is it?
How much is their flat white?
Cheeky chappy. cheeky chappy. It's all about market positioning, isn't it? We're essentially, Mike, forget everything about statistics, bean weight, bean roasting, bean transport fees.
Yeah, it's heart and soul now, isn't it?
Bean insurance. It's
it's
core message.
Yeah.
It's about core message. It's about branding.
Sorcery.
It's about the heart of the consumer. What does Nero mean? It's a place where you could still smoke until recently in quite a lot of them. Is that what it means? It's a place where no one's too sure if there's two R's in the Nero or if there's two F's in the cafe. It's two F's in the cafe, I think, and an R in the Nero. Is that what it means?
You've proven your point beautifully there.
It's the one
that was it Nero that Nero you there used to be a ghost Nero?
There was a ghost Nero, yeah.
Yeah.
It had a stain on the toilet wall so big that it stopped being a stain and the rest of the wall became the aberration. It actually just became a new direction for the wall of the toilet.
It's like the epicenter of a black hole.
We think it might have been.
Okay, Henry, how much do you think a flat white in Cafe Nero is?
So Cafe Nero, I'm just trying to channel it. So also think branding. I'm trying to show you the working out in a way.
Yeah.
Because Costa's got that dark, rich, red port, sort of burgundy-coloured branding.
It does.
Starbucks is green. So Nero's got that kind of cold blue.
Mm.
It's got that slight sense of the night about it, Nero. It's a little bit illicit. It's still got the circular round, you know, those round Parisian-style tables outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only one of these cafes that I once saw Trevor Nunn in. I once saw Trevor Nunn in the Ghost Nero.
Wow. Okay.
He wanted to turn it into a play.
What's the one outside the BBC? You know, Broadcasting House, there's kind of one that's inside it.
Inside Broadcasting House?
On the left, as you walk into the main door of Broadcasting House, there's a little coffee shop and it's one of these brands.
I've never noticed that.
Oh.
Has it always been there?
I think it might be a Nero. Anyway, if it is a Nero, well... If
Maybe
it's not
a
Nero.
Mirage Nero.
Well, sometimes I go in there sometimes just because you will always spot an Ola Gearin or Nick Robinson. You will always get one. Yeah. It's great.
Really? Yeah. And I'm all Rajan.
And I'm all Rajan.
Right.
How much is a flat white in Cafe Nero, Shepherd's Bush?
Okay, so I'm going to go for...
I'm going to go for 330.
I've not even done my guess yet.
That's okay.
Oh, Mike, you've now brought in the Benjamin psychology that I can use.
Mike!
You've changed the nature of the game, you poor, sorry, innocent fool.
I thought you were ready. Did you not have you ready?
You rural dullard. You're simple. You've got the simple thought processes of an innocent stable boy. And Mr. Rooty Toot with his top hat and his white gloves is about to trample all over you, buy your mother, and shag your horse. Oh, Mike. I've got to go. I'm playing the Bonjamin card. £3.31. Thank you.
Oh, Henry, that's my Bonge. Sorry,
he's gone Bonge.
This is why London always wins. This is why people move to London to make it big.
Okay. He's gone full Bonge. It is £4.05. So more than a cost of coffee. Yeah.
What? I never would have guessed that.
Mike, also, I was going to guess over five because I think, does it position itself as more expensive than Starbucks? So it positions itself between the two.
Yeah. Which I think is about right.
The price point.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, final one. You've had three flat whites.
Yeah.
But you're still jonesing for more.
You're in a bad way. And you're in Shepherd's Bush, bloody hell. Yeah.
Greg's. A Greg's flat white.
So, Mike, please don't make me steal the points from your hand again this time.
Okay.
So Greg's has a flat white.
Okay.
But it's entirely sort of sausage fat, isn't it?
It's that kind of, you know, inside a chicken bake, there's that kind of white sauce.
Yeah.
It's just that strained.
topped off with sausage fat.
And heated to extraordinary temperatures.
Oh, yeah.
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 And they sprinkle a Pro Plus pill on top of it for the caffeine boost.
I have a guess. Have you got a guess, Henry?
Yeah, I'm going to go in.
You go first, because you've bonged in the past.
Who, me?
You can't be trusted yet.
Yeah, I'm going to go in. I'm just thinking you can't turn around that amount of milk for below. So I just think there's a limit how low. They'll try and get it as low as they can. I'm going for £3.
Okay, £3 from Henry. Mike?
I think it's the first time I've overshot Henry. I've gone for £3.20.
Guys.
Yeah.
It's £1.65.
Oh, Greg's. Well
You've done it. They've done it.
That's selfish, right? They've made the one. That's like the 1 minute mile. They said it couldn't be done. They've made the 165 flat white. They must be running on a colossal loss.
They've broken the milk barrier, haven't they? It's incredible.
They've broken the milk barrier.
Well done, Greg's.
Points wise, Henry has picked up so many points in that round.
Yeah. If that was a bit unfair.
So Henry's on 5, Mike's on 2. That was from Alex. Thank you, Alex. Now, Josephine sends this question.
Great question, though.
Josephine sends in.
Hello, Josephine.
It was really in my ballpark, that question, though. It was playing to my strengths. Yeah.
What caused the permanent closure of the restaurants Palm Court, Café Parisien, and The Veranda?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay, so what are your answers? I'll ask Henry first.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, the question.
I have a guess.
What caused the permanent closure of the restaurants Palm Court, Café Parisien, and The Veranda?
What caused the... I've just realised I'm eating a biscuit that's been in the fridge, but it's not cold. Now I'm asking the questions. What the hell is going on?
Was that a question?
Are you quite sure?
Answer the question. Senator, answer the question.
Well, I don't know if it was a question or not, but it's only got you asking questions. I'm just genuinely worried about my fridge. Mm. Again, this is teething trouble stuff, isn't it, the BBC? In the 1940s, people would have been bringing...
The very first broadcasts. A middle-aged man eating a warm biscuit. Live to the nation.
Hello, Britain.
Literally everyone in the nation who can watch is watching. Such was the nature of telly at the time.
Oh, so just the exact wording, was it...
What caused the permanent closure of the restaurants Palm Court, Café Parisien, and The Veranda?
I'm going to say the French Revolution.
Okay. Nice guess. And Michael?
I went for the Blitz. Similar...
Okay, you're both wrong. I'm going to give you a date.
Nice.
April 1912.
Ah.
Damn.
I think first to get it, just do your hooter. Yes, Michael?
Well, I'm losing confidence now. That's not the same year as the sinking of the Titanic, is it?
It is indeed the sinking of the Titanic.
I was about to say that, you git.
So, yeah, so perhaps all the restaurateurs or the chefs were, the whole lot were on board, or everyone. Or was it on the Titanic?
Was
they were the restaurants on the Titanic.
They were the Titanic restaurants.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah. And can I just quickly say? The sinking of the Titanic. That's the actual answer. Mike didn't say it. I get the points. I played my Beelzebub card. He didn't actually say it. He just said the Titanic. Oh, the Titanic caused the sinking of them, did it? No, the Titanic... the Titanic caused the closure of it, did it? No, the Titanic caused the fucking opening of them, actually. It was the sinking of the Titanic. In fact, it's not even the sinking, it's the iceberg. The iceberg caused it. Ah, la, 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 la.
Henry's gone goblin mode.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so the absence of onboard restaurant-sized lifeboats.
Yes.
There you go.
Which are now
mandatory.
Damn. That was good.
And, of course, the egg chef carried on making omelettes as the as the Titanic went down, famously.
Yeah.
It was that last sizzle. That's when they knew it was all over.
Yeah.
That's right. I think you'd make a really good cruise ship maitre d', Ben.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What sort of, like, oleaginous service...
Yeah,
and, but running things ruthlessly behind the scenes.
Okay, I like that.
I think you could cut it. I don't think Henry and I could cut it.
Mm. But also, since you're very much porking the Baroness of something or other, as well. I think you're scurrying from cabin to cabin, aren't you? Making love to heiresses.
The Baroness Rat.
The Baroness Rat. The biggest and most comely rat on the high seas.
Okay, let's finish off with two questions I've got here. Who are the only two people to have won both a Nobel Prize and an Academy Award?
Blimey.
So there's two people that have done that, are there?
Yeah, and if you get one of them, I'll be very impressed.
No, by Nobel Prize, does that mean for what, though? Do we know? Because there's literature, there's general, is there?
They're both for literature.
And an Academy Award. But we don't know what the Academy Award's for.
No.
In terms of...
I mean, like, I do, but I'm not...
Writing or directing or whatever.
I ain't telling you, mate. This, by the way, was sent in by Ben.
Okay, I've written down two names, but I have no confidence.
Okay, hang on. Give me 2 more seconds. Okay, fine. I don't know. But okay, fine. Let's do some...
Okay, Mike, who are you guessing?
It's probably... I've written William Goldman and Samuel Beckett.
Both incorrect. Shall I give you years?
Shall I do my two, which I don't think are right, and then you can give us clues?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, go on.
I've gone for Harold Pinter and, weirdly, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan is correct.
What? Because I knew he got the Nobel Prize
for literature.
I remember that, but what would he have got?
He got the Oscar for best original song in the year 2000 for "Things Have Changed" from Wonder Boys. No memory of what.
Wow,
that would be.
People just don't that best song Academy Award doesn't really punch through, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Don't remember that at all.
So Henry gets the points. The other one, somebody who won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1925 and the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay in 1938 for Pygmalion.
So what was... Say again the first bit?
Terence Rattigan.
No, it was a Nobel Prize for Literature in 1925 and Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay in 1938 for Pygmalion.
Noel, what's his face?
Coward.
It's not that one either.
Gallagher?
Noel Gallagher. It's not Noel.
Fielding? Pygmalion. But not Bernard Shaw. He's dead. Is it Bernard Shaw? He's dead.
They don't need to be alive to have won the Nobel Prize in 1925.
It'd be quite impressive if they were alive now, I think.
It is indeed George Bernard Shaw, yes.
The Metropolitan Literati strike again.
So basically, it was playwrights and coffee. that got me the got me the points today. The
title of your memoirs.
Playwrights and Coffee.
Final question.
Okay.
Mike can't really win.
Let's see.
He can claw back some dignity. This is from Tom K.
Thank you, Tom.
How many penises are depicted on the bio tapestry? Closest wins.
One, William the Bloody Conqueror.
That's very much, you take the command penis theory then, don't you?
I take the command
penis theory. You don't count the Normans and the Breton mercenaries.
You can cut off the commander's penis.
Yeah.
You won the battle.
See, there feels like there's no real reason for any penises, but
well, I'm thinking
it's such a big tapestry. They weren't above a bit of ribaldry, were they? Those guys.
That's true. But there's also this horses. Would they have given the horses dicks? There's a lot of horses, and there's probably some dogs, I imagine.
Would they have implied that the Normans were firing dicks instead of arrows?
Are you saying that Harold got a dick in the eye?
Okay, Henry's guess first.
Okay.
I'm going to go for trick question zero.
Okay, interesting. Henry goes for zero. Mike?
Yeah. I've gone for 13.
13. The correct answer is 93, 88 horses, 5 men.
5 men? Who are those men?
I don't know.
Oh, it's the circle jerk. There's a circle jerk depicted, isn't there? It's two friars.
That's why the Saxons lost.
A stable boy.
There was a circle jerk that got out of hand. And they got
a circle jerk.
Everyone was looking at the circle jerk.
They didn't spot the archers were approaching from the other side.
Yeah. So we finish off. Mike has 3 points. Henry has 7 points. And the mayor of Ipswich is lowered into the boiling fat.
Glory be, glory be.
It's time for a new capital of Pacadonia in Suffolk.
Yes.
I'm buying myself a one-way ticket to the land of the county.
Ben's even just told you.
Suffolk. I'm buying a one-way ticket to Suffolk, baby.
So congratulations, Henry.
Oh, no, but I've just got a nap, and now I've got to put on the white hot necklace. No! That was being smelted by Odin earlier, remember, by Thor. Yeah.
If you're listening and you have a good pub quiz question to send in, that maybe isn't just a kind of that's actually a naval
But those were really phrase. Good. Those were really those are, good. I enjoyed the anal ones as well as the fun ones. That was really good
great
stuff.
Questions. Keep the coffee price ones, keep the London coffee price ones coming, is what I'll say.
Okay.
It was all there. There was fun stuff. There was guesswork. There was facts. There was, you know.
No, they were brilliant.
But yeah, keep it coming if you're that way inclined. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to our Patreon.
Thank you very much.
And perhaps we should leave with the give the final words to Martin Robinson.
Oh yes, good
author of Not Enough Room to Swing a Cat.
Has he written some kind of emotional postscript that you can finish off with?
Yes, he has. By which I mean he's listed some useful websites. It's very much
google.co.uk,
pedanticturd.com, pedanticidiot.net, pedantictossers.net, pedantictossers.gov.uk.
Yeah, you're right.
cato9balls.org.uk.
Here's a bit of a ditty.
Okay.
What shall we do with a drunken nurker? Hit him in the nadgers with the bosun's plunger till his bodgers dangle.
Aww.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Martin. Goodbye.
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 You find yourself out walking in the rain. The wind is howling like a runaway train. A voice calls out, a raspy refrain. Answer my riddles or ye will go insane. Ahead on the path is a dark domain. A man stands in front dressed in rags and chains. He says, come inside and I'll ruin your brain. Welcome to Bonjo's House of Pain.